Thank you, Alan. Thank you, everybody. Good to be here. So, my name's Claire, and I'm an alcoholic. I got to this group 2 years ago, yesterday, around up yesterday or day before I actually stopped drinking in 2024. And here I am 2 years later, by the grace of God and the help of AA, and couldn't have done this on my own. And I am just so grateful tonight when I look on the screen and I see people that have traveled this road with me. I see people just coming in, new to this group or new to AA, wondering what it's all about. It's just quite overwhelming. And I think, it's an understatement to say that AA saved my life because it did. And that sounds dramatic, but that is the reality of it. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one in this meeting that can relate to that. And I think from my share today, so I chose, which is a bit of a big topic, letting go of resentments. Now, I would be a great big fat liar if I said that, I don't get resentful. If I said that I completely figured out how to let go of resentments, that's not where I'm at today. But I've got what I do have is 2 years of imperfect AA recovery. I've got an amazing sponsor, Miss Shelley, in the room. I've got amazing fellowship in this room. And I've got a higher power who I choose to call God. So, when I first came to AA, I was quite bewildered. I didn't come because I wanted to come. I came because I knew I had no other option. So, a very brief background history from myself is, I grew up with alcoholism. My father was an alcoholic. And, he didn't make recovery. And, I think, and again, I'm sure other people can relate to this as well. So I always vowed that I would not be an alcoholic. And come to this room, these rooms, what it's taught me about alcoholism is, sometimes we don't have a choice. This is a disease, this is an illness that needs, well, it needs managing, it needs a program. And I'm sure, again, like many other people here, I tried so many ways, without success, to not drink. And part of my background as well is drugs. And I think, me standing here today doing this is about being vulnerable, being honest, and like I say, sharing my experience and strength and hope in the hope that it helps somebody because it helps me and it keeps me sober to do this. So, when I first came to the rooms, I remember it very clearly. I was told to sit and listen. I was told to look for the similarities, not the differences. Look for the similarities, look where I can relate to other people's stories, regardless of that person's background, country, belief, whatever. But what I did is I did the opposite. So I remember quite vividly coming into the rooms, feeling uncomfortable, and being very focused on the differences. And that I know is my alcoholism trying to trick me into thinking that I don't need to be in AA. So yeah, I looked at everybody's backgrounds, different stories, different drinking, different reasons for drinking. I just looked for anything that could make me not need to be in the room. Obviously, I did need to be in the room. But I had a sponsor at that time, different to Miss Shelley, who I've got now, who told me just keep coming back. And what I had to do was not listen to my internal message. So my emotions, my stinking thinking, as we call it in AA, my preconceptions about what an alcoholic was, what an alcoholic's life looked like, and just listen and look for the similarities. So I just kept coming back, putting my butt in the chair or in the virtual square and listening to other people's stories. And then it became impossible not to relate because there were so similarities, so many similarities. So I started to recognize my story and myself in other people's stories. And I think when I came into AA, I thought I was pretty unique, which I think is quite an alcoholic way of thinking. I thought that my story was unique, you know, that I'd come from a background with a father with alcoholism, and all of that stuff was the reason why I was an alcoholic, and had to keep it secret, and almost you live a double life. So coming into the rooms, listening, parking my emotions, parking what I guess this is about, this, why I chose resentments, is because I almost felt resentful about coming into the rooms. So sitting myself down, listening to other people's stories, feeling resentment, I started to hear and see, people like we've got in the rooms now, like my sponsor Michelle with 50 million years of sobriety. But I started to see and want to know what I just needed to do to start to work on my sobriety. And obviously that's why we've got the AA program, the big book, these meetings. And what stood out for me the most was that, yes, people come into the room. And the reason we come to these rooms is because we need guidance. We need to feel united. We need the steps to work. If you've not done the steps before, get a sponsor and start doing the steps. But we need a solution. And that's what the AA offers. But what stood out for me was people were talking about their resentments. But they were also talking about freedom from resentments. And they were talking about how the steps led them to be able to deal with their resentments. And people were talking about, obviously, you come into this program and it's very much about, working the steps, getting a sponsor, but having what AA calls a higher power of your own, a God of your own understanding. So I obviously have a faith, I'm a Christian, God is my higher power. But AA doesn't force that down your neck. What AA wants is for you to step outside of yourself and get perspective and use the steps every day in your life to stay sober, because we do it just one day at a time. So what the big book says about resentments, and this I found quite hard to swallow. So the big book, page 66, says resentments is the number one offender. So you would come in, and like I came into this room, and you think, okay, alcohol's the number one offender. That's what's going to get me drunk. That's what's going to keep me drunk. That's what's going to kill me if I carry on. But it doesn't say that. It says resentment is the number one offender. So not alcohol, not drugs, not relationships, resentments. And then this book, people might know it, so it's called As Bill Sees It. So Bill was one of our co-founders in AA, founder of the AA program. And I think this is quite poignant, harsh, hard, but I'm going to read it out. It's only very short. So it says, anger, personal and group enemy. As the book Alcoholics Anonymous puts it, resentment is the number one offender. It is the primary cause of relapses into drinking. How well we of AA know that for us to drink is to go mad or die. And so when I first came in, if I'm reading this in the book and I'm thinking, I was thinking, well, no, alcohol's going to kill me. Resentment's not going to kill me. But as I've gone through the program, what becomes more obvious, and as you work the steps, for those that haven't worked the steps, I'm almost jumping to step four here, but as you start to work the program, you start to realize why Bill says that, what that's all about. So for me, recovery isn't about never becoming resentful. It's about learning what to do when resentment shows up. So we are human, and with all the support in the world, I think we are not, well, I am naturally inclined to become resentful. It's part of an emotion, part of our human setup, I suppose. And I guess what resentment means for me, so what is a resentment, is it's more than anger, definitely. It's something that lingers. It's refeeling old hurts. It's playing things around repeatedly in your head, rerunning conversations, reliving disappointments, and especially injustices. And I can understand why we do that, because again, I think there's a process there that we need to go through when, stuff has happened to us in our past. But it's human nature. Everybody gets angry, everybody gets hurt, everybody gets disappointed. The problem, I guess, is what we do with it. So my sponsor, Michelle, who's here today, what she taught me is resentment can be self-pity, can be faulty coping, and resentment often leads us to drink because we can feel uncomfortable with the emotions that that evokes, so to speak. So not learning how to sit with uncomfortable feelings and use the solution, which is the program steps, to work through those feelings, to be able to process it, learn about ourselves and why we hold those resentments, and to cope and deal with it as well. And I almost think resentment's a bit of a devil in disguise, in that it doesn't always, to me, look like resentments. I think it can show up in a lot of different ways, and it still does for me, and it has. So it can, for me, I have to look out for being judgmental, self-righteousness, and control is quite a big underpinning factor that I have uncovered through doing the steps that leads me to become resentful. And I think what you start to notice in AA, and what wants you what made me want to understand why I become resentful, what the program tells me to do with that resentfulness, is because it snowballs and it leads to us picking up a drink or picking up a drug. So resentment starts small often, gathers evidence, gathers emotion, and then it gathers momentum. And it often, for me, becomes bigger than the original problem. I think I remember somebody sharing in a meeting saying that we have so many thoughts in a day, and there's just like a teeny weeny little percentage of those thoughts that are actually of any value. And we say in AA that we are so good at taking our resentments to bed and cuddling them and stroking them and reading them a bedtime story and just making them much bigger than they are. And I think that for me, AA, letting go of resentments is a process that you learn and you develop. And I'm still doing it now. Like I say, I'm not perfect with it. So when I look back, and what reinforces that for me, the need to understand resentments, is the reason why I drank. I didn't, in the end, or even in the beginning, drink because I liked alcohol. I drank because I wanted relief. I had a noisy head, didn't feel that I fit in, racing thoughts, hurt, anger, fear, isolate. So I used it as my solution to basically cope with uncomfortable feelings. And it numbed my emotion. It stopped me sitting with uncomfortable feelings till eventually it grabs hold of you and you don't have you. It becomes king alcohol. It becomes all consuming, which I guess is why we're in this room. And then you put alcohol and resentment together and you almost, I think, get a perfect cocktail. And it's, I think we've got to be balanced about it, because I think there is reasons that we become upset, we become angry. That is a total human, normal emotion. But we need to work through that. And if you're an alcoholic, the danger is that you will just numb it. You will just drink and you will just push it down. And it becomes a vicious cycle. So when I came here, I was actually resentful towards drink. You know, it was one of my big resentments when I did my step four list, where you list all your resentments down, you know, past and present. I was resentful towards myself and I was resentful towards alcohol. So alcohol stopped me dealing with resentments. So now, resentment, I think, as well, for me, became a little bit normal. And I think you can sort of go into a bit of a self-pitying, you know, poor me. Other people are the problem, so to speak. And alcohol was the solution, which it clearly isn't. So we then come to the solution, and we come to the big book, and we come to the 12 steps. And before you really get to dealing and really looking inwards at yourself and what makes you tick, what makes you resentful, you have to go right back to the beginning, and you have to do step one. You have to start to listen to the people in the rooms. You have to start to relate, like we said before, and you have to start realizing that you are powerless over alcohol, and that your life is unmanageable, and that your thinking becomes unmanageable. And remember, we can lead double lives here. So this is all internal stuff. Some people, it's more external because we've got to a point where we can't hide it. Everybody's got different rock bottoms, you know, before they come into AA. But the common theme is we can't stop drinking. And we try on our own and we can't do it. So we get resentful, blame, self-pity, and control. You know, we can't control. Control isn't working. Self-control isn't working. So then we get to step two. And it tells us that we need a power greater than ourselves. If we look into ourselves to stop drinking, what AA will start to call it is that you're a dry drunk. So you might be able to abstain for a while, as I did, but the chances are that you are going to relapse. And the next time you pick up, you don't know what that result is going to be, because alcoholism is, you know, it's a disease of the mind. It's insanity. We become absolutely obsessed with it. When are you going to have your next drink? If we do that, how can I get to my next, you know,
Minutes.
planet? Oh, thank you. That's gone quick, isn't it? So we get to step two. So we need to start looking out of ourselves. So if you do come into these rooms and you hear in the big book, because when the big book was written, it was written biblically. You know, I think it was the King James Bible, you know, the Oxford group, you know, they were using the Bible in their sort of Christian faith. But we now just need to rely on a power greater than ourselves. So come in and just have a think about that. Doesn't need to be religious. You just need to start looking out of yourself. And then obviously step three, you start working through that, and then you come to step four, and that's where you start looking at the resentments. And everybody's always scared of step four, but actually it's really releasing. It can be really cathartic, and it gets me through day to day when those resentments pop up in my head and I can feel them building up. Go back to step four, go back to your higher power, come to a meeting, talk to somebody. So letting go, I guess, in a nutshell, what this all says is letting go of resentments is a daily process. And some days are really good where you don't have many resentments and, you know, you breeze through and but you've always got to keep a little check on that. And we've got an amazing program here, an amazing fellowship to help us do that. So you need never be alone in doing this. Yeah. So I think I'll probably finish up now, Catherine, but am I done? My time's up. So just to finish off, I want to say thank you. Just to say you don't have to carry resentment alone. Like we've said, get a sponsor, work the steps, lean on the fellowship. Listen for similarities. Keep an open mind. Don't let the God thing put you off. It doesn't need to be religious. And that's it in a nutshell. I hope you could relate. Thank you for letting me share.